Good morning to you all. It's a while since I've been here with you, and I'm really happy to be here. Today, as you've heard, is a special Sunday here at Yan Phuc Church. We call it Theological Sunday. This is a special opportunity for those of us who teach at Yan Phuc Theological Seminary to encourage you to study with us and also to support us in our work. Now, if you look around the room, it's pretty obvious that every one of us is unique. We're all different. We speak many different languages. Many of us were born here, and some of us, like me, were born on the opposite side of the planet. We come from different races. But all of us, if we are born again Christians, have this particular thing in common. We were all saved to serve. God's word makes it perfectly clear that we cannot be saved by good works. But Scripture also says that we were saved for good works. This is true of every believer. You and I were saved to serve. Have you ever wondered why God kept you here after he saved you? I remember asking that question myself. Think back to the day on which you were saved. You heard the gospel. You faced the fact that you are a sinner and that you were standing in peril of eternal condemnation. You realized that you needed God's forgiveness, and you understood for the first time that that forgiveness was available to you in only one way. You believed the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again to prove that the payment had been accepted by God the Father. And at that very moment, you went from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. At that very moment, your eternal destination changed from hell to heaven. At that very moment, you had made the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. God forgave your sins. He adopted you as his child. He gave you the gift of eternal life. Your sin problem, as far as eternity is concerned, was solved. Why didn't God just take you to heaven right then? The answer is simple. God has a purpose for the rest of your life here on earth. You were saved to serve. Now, I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 2 with two very familiar verses, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Most of us are familiar with those verses. Many of you have probably memorized them because they highlight this amazing gift of eternal life that God has given to us. But we often forget the verse that follows, verse 10, the verse that tells us God's purpose for us as saved individuals. Paul says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see what verse 10 is saying? It says that you and I were saved to serve. Now, today I want to talk to you about the connection between your service to God and theological education. And this connection is really quite simple. If you are a Christian, God expects you to serve. And if you want to serve God well, you need to be properly equipped. And that's why I've titled today's message, Equipped to Serve. Now, let me tell you a little bit about myself. Some of you know me, some of you don't. I'm an American. I have a beautiful Korean wife. She's sitting right here. We have two married sons, and we have one granddaughter. My ministry here in Hong Kong is primarily teaching systematic theology and Bible exposition. But before I went into the ministry, I used to do laboratory research in physics. laboratory work is mostly about building things. And I've always liked to build things. Over the years, I built all kinds of things. I've built furniture. I built a working steam engine that I designed myself when I was in high school. I built electronic instrumentation for particle accelerators. I've built radio-controlled airplanes and boats. I designed and built a regulation billiards table. I've even built additions on houses. I love to build things, and I love to fix things. Now, my wife and I, for a brief period of time, owned a house in Texas. Back when we had that house, if you were to walk into our garage, you would see one thing everywhere. Tools. Tools. My garage was full of tools. Tools for woodworking. Tools for fixing cars. Tools for gardening. I love building things, and I love tools. Now, tools are wonderful things, but just owning tools is not enough. You need to know how to use them. And if you want to get a job done, you need both to have the tools and the skills to use them. Now, our two sons are very different from each other, but they have one thing in common. They also like tools. Our younger son, Andrew, loves cars. Our older son, Caleb, is a doctor. He delivers babies and does surgery on women. Andrew uses mechanics tools to fix cars. Caleb uses surgical tools to deliver babies and to repair human bodies. Now, working on cars, building furniture, or repairing the human body, they're all similar in one way. To be fully equipped for any of these tasks, you need two things. You need the right tools, and you need the right skills. Now, the same thing is true about serving God. And the purpose of theological education, what we do at YFTS, is to give you the tools and the skills that you need to serve God more effectively. Now, this morning, I want to examine two Bible passages with you. The first one speaks of the tools that we need for serving God, and the second one speaks of the skills that we need to serve God. Together, these two passages tell us how to be fully equipped to serve God. Now, the first passage is the one that we just read, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now, I'm going to read it to you again. This time, I'll read it to you from the New International Version because the translation there is a little bit more nuanced and a little bit more precise. Paul says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, in this passage, Paul is telling us two things about scripture, two things about the Word of God. First, he says that all of scripture has two very special qualities, and second, God gave us scripture for a very special purpose. Well, let's consider the two special qualities of scripture. Quality number one: all scripture is God-breathed. This means that all scripture comes direct from the mind of God. Even though the Bible was recorded by human writers, the Bible is not a collection of human opinions. It's a message from God to us. And because it's from God, it's completely true. Because it's from God, it's completely reliable. Because it's from God, it carries His authority. And then we come to the second quality. Paul says that all scripture is useful. This means that all scripture has practical value. And notice that Paul says all scripture has practical value. Now, sometimes we tend to doubt this. We look at the laws in Leviticus or the genealogical records in the book of Numbers, and we may feel that they're not very practical. But if we go deeply enough, we will find that all of the Bible is useful because all of the Bible works together to reveal who God is, what God is doing, and what He plans to do in the future, and what He expects from us. Well, next, Paul tells us the purpose of Scripture. He says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful so that the man of God may be fully equipped for every good work. God gave his word to us so that we could be fully equipped for every good work. Now that word equipped is a very interesting Greek word. It's the Greek word exartizo. Exartizo is a verb that means having the right tools for the job. So if you want to serve God, you need to have the right tools. And the primary tool of ministry is this book that I have right here in my hand. It is God's written word. Now, let me use you ladies in the room for an example of why having the right tools is so important. Suppose you were to leave Hong Kong and move to the town where my son, Dr. Caleb Dean, is a doctor. You make an appointment to see my son, the surgeon. You need to have a minor surgical operation. So you arrive at the office and Dr. Dean greets you. He interviews you and schedules a time for surgery. You report to his office on the appointed day. A nurse ushers you into a treatment room where you put on a surgical gown and you lie down on a table. She gives you a local anesthetic. And then Dr. Dean comes into the room wearing his scrubs, his mask, and his gloves. He greets you and he reassures you, "Don't worry, this won't hurt a bit." And then he opens a drawer and he pulls out a chainsaw. Now, what would you do? If it was me, I would run. Do you get the point? You can't do a job properly with the wrong tools. If you want to be effective in whatever ministry God calls you to, you need the right tools. To gain the right tools for ministry, you must gain a thorough knowledge of God's word. Well, let's go now to the second passage that I want to look at today, and that is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read to you verses 11 and 12. Paul says, and here he refers to Christ, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now here Paul is reminding us that the Lord Jesus Christ has given gifts to the church. Now, we all know that the Holy Spirit gives individual spiritual gifts to individual believers at the time of their spiritual birth, but that's not what Paul is talking about here. Paul is saying that Christ gave special people to the church. He did it to equip the church. And here we see that English word equip again. Well, who are these special people whom Christ gave to the church? He refers to the apostles and prophets. They're the men who walked with Jesus and who wrote the books of the New Testament. Their time is long past. He speaks of evangelists. These are people who have a special gift for leading people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here in Yan Phuc Church, we have long experience of a very effective evangelist, Reverend So. He has a special gift for leading people to Christ. He is a gift from God to this church. Now, I want you to look closely at the third gift in the list, or the next gift in the list. It says that Christ gave some pastors and teachers. Now, it doesn't say he gave pastors and he gave teachers. The Greek text actually says he gave pastors and teachers, and the phrase tells us, the way it's worded, that this is a single gift. It's a special kind of person. This gift is the person of the pastor teacher. And Paul tells us that the pastor teacher has a special role, which we will see in a moment. Now, why did the Lord give these people to the church? Well, the answer is found in verse 12. It says, he gave them for the equipping of the saints, for the works of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, there are two very important ideas here that we must not miss. The first idea is this: building up the church is a job for all believers. A healthy church does not expect the hired ministers to do all the work. In a healthy church, everyone is involved in the work of ministry. All of us have a role. All of us were saved to serve. And one of the ways in which we serve Christ is by building each other up. Now, here's the second idea. Pastor teachers were not given to do the work of the ministry. Their job is to train others to do their work of the ministry. This is the special role of the pastor teacher. Now, notice what Paul says. He says that pastor teachers exist to, quote, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, this is interesting because it sounds a little bit like 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, but the word that Paul uses here is not exactly the same. They're both translated equip, but it's not quite the same word. The word here is katartizmas. Now, the word exartizo that we saw in 2 Timothy speaks of providing tools, and you can probably hear that these words are similar, but they're not the same. The word katartizmas that Paul uses here speaks of training in skills. Now, Paul is telling us something important. We could never hire enough pastors to do the work of the church. It's the job of believers to do the work that God wants done. Our Lord Jesus gave us pastor teachers not so that they could do all of the work, but instead so they could train the members of the church to do the work. Now, I have a question for you. How many of you like to watch football? I'm talking about what we Americans call soccer. Do we have any football fans here? Okay, we've got a few. All right, suppose one night you turn on the TV to watch your favorite team, and you sit down and you're expecting to see an exciting match. But there's something wrong. All the players are sitting on the benches on the side, and the coaches are out on the field. And they're the only ones there, and they're running back and forth. And this coach alternately is attacking the goal, and the other one is defending, and then it goes the other way, and he's attacking, and the other coach is defending. Is that the proper way to play football? Are the coaches supposed to be on the field? No. Now, I have to be honest with you. I'm a very strange American. I have no interest in professional sports. I'm not interested in baseball. I'm not interested in American football. I'm not interested in basketball. Every year when the Olympics come, I hate it because my wife sort of disappears for a couple of weeks. She's watching the television. I would rather clean the bathroom than watch professional sports. But I have a friend in America who loves football, and once he took me to a game, and I sat with him, and I watched the players sweating and struggling and fighting to make a touchdown. Those guys out there were working hard. They were getting exhausted. But after a while, I got bored. And I started looking around at the crowd around me. In some ways, the spectators were really more interesting than the game. Everybody was eating hot dogs and drinking beer. Many of them were overweight and they were out of shape. You know, someone once described an American football game like this. It's 50,000 people who desperately need exercise watching 22 people who desperately need rest. You know, God doesn't want Yan Phuc Church to be like that. He doesn't want us to be like those spectators on the side. He wants each of us to be in the game. Why? Because we were saved to serve. He wants each of us to be fully equipped so that we can serve effectively. And in order to be fully equipped, we need both the tools and the skills of ministry. Now, more than 20 years ago, your church did something quite unusual. Reverend So led a team of men who started a school that was originally called Yan Phuc Bible Institute. Today we call it Yan Phuc Theological Seminary. It's a fully accredited seminary. Now, they did this for one special purpose. That purpose is to build up this church and other churches by providing Christians with theological education. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and if you have received basic training in Sunday school, that's good. But if you want to become even more effective in serving the Lord, you need to go further. You need theological education. And that's what we offer you at Jan Fuch Theological Seminary. Now, my wife and I have been here for 13 years. We spend a lot of time away from our sons. We're lucky if we see them once a year. And people sometimes ask why we did this. Well, we came because we believe that the Christians of Hong Kong have a great opportunity before them. You, as followers of Jesus Christ, were saved to serve. The Lord Jesus wants you to bless your family and the people you work with. He wants to use you to bless Jan Fuch Church. He wants to use you to bless Hong Kong and China and the world at large. You know, living in Hong Kong, you live in a special place at a special time. Hong Kong is still the crossroads of Asia, and we hope that it will return to that role very soon as the airport opens up and as things open up. Hong Kong is the doorway to China. Your country and your people need to know Jesus Christ. They need to see his power at work as it transforms you. They need to see what Jesus Christ can do in men and women who are fully equipped to serve him. They need to see the power of the gospel as it works in you. And they need to hear the gospel so that they too can come to new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be part of the music ministry. You may participate in Evangelism Explosion. You might lead a Bible study or a fellowship or a home group. Some of you might be deacons or elders in the church. Maybe your ministry is to visit the sick or the elderly. Or perhaps you are just a parent seeking to raise godly children. Whatever you do in his service, God wants you to do it well. He wants you to do it even better than you're doing it now. He wants you to be fully equipped. He wants you to have a full set of tools. That means that he wants you to have a deeper knowledge of Scripture than you have now. He wants you to become more skillful in using the Scriptures. He wants you to be fully equipped with the tools and the skills of ministry. Why? So that you can serve him more effectively. And the key to serving him more effectively is getting theological education. Now, this has been probably one of the shortest messages I'll ever preach. Those of you who have been here in the past know that I tend to go over on the clock. I don't think I'm going to do so today. I want to close just with a simple invitation. I urge you to come see what Jan Fuch Theological Seminary has to offer you. All of us who teach at the seminary are pastor teachers. We want to equip you. Our job is to train you with the skills of ministry. Our job is to equip you with a deeper knowledge of the Word of God and a knowledge of theology. Because what is theology? Theology is just an organized understanding of what is taught in the Word of God. Now, these days, you certainly can enroll in a degree program. We have degree programs of all sorts. But we now allow students to enroll without being in a degree program. You can come and just take some courses. Whether you're a college graduate or not, it doesn't matter. We have courses at the undergraduate level and at the graduate level. We have courses in both Cantonese and English. Now, I'm sure you can guess that I only teach in English, but all the rest of our professors are fluent in multiple languages. Today, we're inviting you to come and study with us. We're also inviting you to partner with us. We need your prayers. We need your financial gifts, and we need you. We want to train as many people as possible. And Pastor Jeffrey mentioned the Little Shepherds program. I'll just say a little bit about that. It's a very interesting program that is designed for days that might come when the most effective way to minister in Hong Kong might be in small groups in homes. All right? I really encourage you to think about all the different programs that we have. Come use what this church has prepared for you. We've got a lot of good stuff. We've got a lot of good teachers. And if you talk to our students, I think you'll find that they're enthusiastic about the studies that they have had with us. Come join us. Let us help you to fulfill God's purpose for you. Come be equipped to serve. Why? Because you were saved to serve. All right, let's pray together. Father, it is a wonderful thing that your goal, every time you save an individual, is not just to change his or her destination from hell to heaven, but to transform him or her into a useful agent of blessing on this planet. Father, you've provided so much to the church. You've given us your word. You have given us evangelists. You have given us also the privilege of serving you. We have everything that we need for life and godliness, but we need to learn to use it, and not just to help ourselves to grow spiritually, but to help others. Father, I look around this room and I see so much potential. And when I say potential, I'm not implying that there isn't a lot going on. I know that my brothers and sisters in this room are busy in serving you. But we would like to see them equipped even better so that they can become even more effective. Father, perhaps there's someone in this room who is wondering whether he or she is called to the ministry. If that's the case, I would ask that you would urge that one to come to talk to us. But even those who don't feel called to ministry, I hope that you would help them to consider the possibility of coming to study with us, to be better equipped to do what they are doing right now, and perhaps better equipped to do something that you might call them to in the future. Father, I want to thank you personally for the leadership of this church, for their wisdom in choosing to provide a way to train so many to serve you. I also want to thank you for those who have given in the past and who are giving now, who make it possible for us to do our work. Grant, Father, that we may bear spiritual fruit that will bring honor to your name, that will bring blessing to this church and to our city and to this world. And grant that in the process we may have the joy of knowing that we are doing what you saved us for, because you saved us to serve. This is our prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.